All right, yes, how are we doing out there? Yes, a lot of details to attend to, and you're getting a good exposure. Just a couple of loose ends to pull together on this. I want to have you go with me to Second Corinthians chapter 3. And it uses the in verse 7, it uses the phrase the ministry of death. The ministry of death. Just think about it for a moment. Just think about it just for a moment. What does that mean? What does it mean? It was a minister of death to those trusting in their own obedience. It's not a matter of obeying or not obeying, but trusting in your obedience. Jesus calls us to be obedient. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. So the motive must be love. Love and devotion. Loyalty. You see, that's the key. That is the new covenant experience. That is the everlasting covenant. To have the law of God written in the heart, we love it. On the mind, we understand it. These two together. Okay? So the ministry is not a matter of having the law done away with. It's a matter of the motivation that one has. You know, we sang a hymn two nights ago here from one of the Psalms on the law. The law is perfect, converting the soul. Okay? So I know it's in your hymnal. All right. And you know, this is Paul's experience, the letter of the law, until he saw Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, then everything changed. And he was more loyal, but now his loyalty was with love and devotion and understanding. I want to share with you a couple of things along this line. And again, loose ends here that may come back to me. Go with me to Galatians. Paul wrote Galatians and Corinthians and so forth. And also we'll have a quotation from him in Acts 24. Let's start with Galatians chapter 6:15. Galatians 6:15. Let me get there. And I want you to ask the question, Old Covenant, New Covenant? Okay? You're going to see both Old Covenant illustrated there and New Covenant there. And it's with regard to, we will see as it progresses, as we progress from Galatians 6:15 to Galatians 5:6 to 1 Corinthians 7:19, watch where the law of God comes in, the commandments of God comes in. Yes, it's Holy Sabbath comes in. Not explicitly, but it's there. All right, Galatians 6:15. Paul's writing, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything. That's the old covenant, to be focusing on that, in terms of how am I doing. No, what really matters is what? A new creation, being born again. New motives, new tendencies, new desires, love for God, loyalty to God, obedience to Christ. But it's the obedience of faith, not the obedience of works. Okay? Now go with me over to Galatians 5, and we're looking at verse 6. Paul's still writing. And he's illustrating both the old covenant way and the new covenant way. Here we go, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working by love. There's the word works. Are we afraid of that word works? We shouldn't be afraid of that word. This is not legalism. This is glad-hearted obedience. Again, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working by love. Love, Romans 13, Paul says, love is the fulfilling of the law. And he lists the law. He lists the six or seven of the Ten Commandments in Romans 13, at least five or six. Love is the fulfilling of the law, the motivation, the attitude of love and loyalty. Okay, one more, two more, but 1 Corinthians 7:19. This is the difference. This is the difference. There we go. Verse 19. Watch for the word commandment to come in. Don't be afraid of it. It's part of the new covenant. Verse 19. Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. But what really matters? What? But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Being a loyal, obedient child of God is what matters. Putting His will first. Not my will, but His will be done. So we have the word working. We have the word work. Working in love. We have the word commandments. I'll read it again. Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. What really matters is what? Keeping the commandments of God. This is the same as being born again. A new creation. Faith working by love. We're all the same. Same author. Do you get it? Do you see it? I hope so. I hope so. And so you see, in this whole contest, you see what's going on here, we must be careful not to take the holy law of God and throw it aside. Now, we want it written on the heart and the mind, the new covenant experience. But we don't create our own laws. Jesus said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for commandments, for law, for doctrine, for commandments of men. In vain is the worship when we create our own way. That's the old covenant experience, to presume to create one's own way, rather than go with God's way, as clearly revealed. Okay, now, Acts 24:14. We actually have the words of the Apostle Paul, the aged Apostle Paul, and in Rome. And we're looking at verse 14. My good friend, my pastor friend, called this to my attention last night. Pastor, beyond, where's my brother? Yes. Praise the Lord. All right, here we are, verse 14. And this is the Apostle Paul before Felix. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, that was another name for the Christians, okay, which they called a sect. This is how they were, in a derogatory way, referred to. So I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. All right? Would that include the Ten Commandments? Would it include God's Holy Sabbath? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And we've seen in the activity, I showed you last night, many places where the Apostle Paul is actively on the riverside, about Acts 16, out on the riverside. No synagogue. No Jews. You know? Keeping Sabbath. Worshiping the living God. It's in the middle of verse 14. So I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. The law and the prophets. You know, we live in a time when people tell us it makes no difference. You know, I don't know what the Church of Christ position. I think that you believe that Revelation 1:10, John says what? I was in the Lord's day, in the spirit of the Lord's day. Do you believe that to be Sunday? Is that commonly thought to be Sunday? It is in most other churches. Is the Lord's day of Revelation 1:10 considered to be Sunday? Somebody shake your hand. Is it? Okay. I'm not getting anything. I guess you're following the counsel we have from our brother first. Don't make a sound. Larry can tell me about that in a moment if you'd like. But, so we have in Ezekiel 22 in verse 26, something that is timeless in terms of it being observed, okay? And this is the age in which we live, but it's been the tendency all along. Ezekiel 22 and verse 26. Verse 25, the conspiracy of her prophets and her mist is like a roaring lion. The prophets, these are the prophets of Judah, the false prophets, lost their way. And down in verse 26, her priests have violated my law. They have profaned my holy things. This is God speaking. This is Jesus speaking. Her priests have violated my law, have profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy. Nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. What did Jesus' death on the cross do anything with? How did it change the pig? How did it change these unclean animals that are good for their purpose, but not for eating? That's another topic, isn't it? And so, in the middle of verse 26, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean, and they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths, so I am profaned among them. I'm treated as just one of the other many, many so-called gods. You know, the Sabbath distinguishes the living God, the Creator God, from all so-called gods. It's that one commandment of the ten, you see, that identifies God by name and title and domain, territory. It's the only one of the ten that does that. You know, those are the three elements of a seal. The book of Revelation talks about a seal, the seal of God. I want to have you go with me there. We're going to broaden this out a little bit. It doesn't have to be complicated. It really isn't. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Anybody a notary public in here? Notary public, yeah? You know, you have to have three, you know, the title. Notary is the title, then the name of the person, and then what? The jurisdiction. Three elements make a seal. Here we are. Chapter 7 of Revelation. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth or the sea or any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, the Creator God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth and the sea and the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads, in their thinking, in their convictions, their understanding, in their affections for the living God. Sealed. Signed, sealed, and delivered. You know, we receive Jesus as Savior, our names are placed, signed into the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. If we stay with Jesus, you see, and then to be sealed for the time before us, the closing events of Earth's history, the closing probation of the human race. Signed, sealed, and then what? Delivered. It's coming. Jesus is coming. So the seal of God, the Sabbath. The Sabbath is God's seal. It's that one commandment in the law, you see, the holy law, that identifies God in terms of his personal name, Yahweh, Lord, all uppercase, Lord, or Yahweh, all-time Jehovah. And, of course, maker, creator. Okay, that's the title, name, title, and what? Heaven and earth, the universe. That's the seal of God. The seal of God, having it settled. We saw something last night in Isaiah, and I'm going to show. I'm going to go back to this because you know I hate to be dismissed. You know, the new covenant experience is one of what? Honoring the Lord, joy, pleasing the Lord. You know, these are the powerful things, the fruits of the Spirit, and so forth. And this is the prophecy. Larry did not address this last night in the sense of verses 1 and 2, but we have a prophecy here. It says, thus says the Lord, keep justice, do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come. My salvation is about to come. Get ready. My righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is man who does this, the Son of Man who lays hold of it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath. See, the Sabbath is at the heart of the Ten Commandments. And it's the seal of the everlasting covenant. And blessed the man who the Son of Man who lays hold on it, verse 2, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, who keeps his hand from doing any evil. Do not let the son of the strength, the foreigner, okay, the non-Jew, okay, and who joins himself to the Lord. He gives himself to God. We call that the new birth experience, being born again. And the Lord, and the eunuch, you see. Verse 4, for thus saith the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who join in this bond with me, you see, this covenant with me, to be the Lord and Savior. And choose the things that what? Look at that word in verse 4. Please me. Is this old covenant experience? Old covenant experience is trying to save yourself by your own bootstraps. And you're not a happy camper when you're doing it. You always wake up with the thought, I'm never good enough. I got to try harder. But this is different. The language is different. This is new covenant, everlasting covenant language. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant. The covenant is at the heart of this. The Sabbath truth. It's not just the day, you see, it's the message behind the Sabbath. The Sabbath truth. What is it? It's in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You see. And he enjoined mankind, his children, to rest with him. To have that experience of community, communion with him and each other. We saw it in Isaiah 66, in the new heavens and the new earth. All flesh will come to worship before me, says the Lord, from Sabbath to Sabbath. Is that past or is that future? Should it not be now? Should it not be now? Let it be now. Let's please the Lord. Now Jesus says, I do the things that please my Heavenly Father. He's asking us to do those things that please Him. And in verse, so you have the interchangeability here of the everlasting covenant and the Sabbath. They are so intimately intertwined, you see, they're here, it's back and forth, you see. One and the other. They're essentially the same. The person who will, from the heart, be surrendered, you see, and they don't worship God on their terms, that's the old covenant experience, to worship God on your terms, at your convenience. But the Holy Sabbath, you see, is the Lord turns it around. Worship me on my terms. Be surrendered. Cultural surrender. It's a sign of salvation when we surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say, not my will, but His will be done. I surrender all. And so that is the heart of this, that we do not want to be. Verse 7, the one who holds fast my covenant, last part of verse 10, two lines, everyone who keeps the Sabbath from defiling it, and holds fast my covenant. There are two. It's in the same breath. Sabbath and covenant, seal of God. Verse 7, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. This is not old covenant experience of trying to save yourself by your own works. This is rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a prophecy. New covenant experience was available to the people of Israel long ago, as we saw last night. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and rejoiced, Jesus said of him. Yes, all right. Here we go.